Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, August 12th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent veteran about calls for an inquiry into a nuclear bomb testing program.
They die in 3 or 4 a week, I believe. So please help us, consider it. And back us.
We'll get tips and advice ahead of tonight's solar eclipse.
Don't look at the eclipse with the naked eye. There are special sun spectacles available, and you're strongly advised to use those.
And an update on an attempt to swim the channel from a group of 6 Kent women.
I'm so, so proud of the team. We showed grit, commitment, courage and determination.
All of that is still to come, so do stay listening. But first, our top story for today. A Stroud woman has been sentenced after crashing her car through a bungalow. Tamara Bowen has been in court after previously pleading guilty to driving dangerously and driving a motor vehicle while 2 times over the legal limit. In October last year, she lost control of her vehicle in Cuxton Road and caused significant damage to a property. The 44-year-old from Poplar Lane was given a suspended sentence and an alcohol abstinence and monitoring requirement for 120 days. She must also complete rehab, pay £187 and has been given a driving ban. Now, grandmother Jill Robinson was living at the property at the time of the crash. She was forced to live in a hotel afterwards. The 84-year-old, who also has terminal leukaemia, spoke to reporter Ellie Hodgson outside court following the sentencing.
Well, from what I was told, I thought she's getting off lightly, but after being in court and what she's got, yes, I'm content with what she's got and deserves every bit of it.
And obviously you spent 8 months, 9 months in a hotel. Do you feel like you've served a sentence?
Yes. Yeah, because she still had her freedom. She could still get into her car and drive wherever she wanted. It hadn't affected her life. Christmas, she could have with her family, I couldn't. It's the same with Easter.
What impact has the past 10 months had on you, mentally, physically?
Well, mentally and physically, I'm still not sleeping at night. And where I was into a routine, I'm finding it very hard to get into a routine. And the fact that my home came back in bits and pieces is still not straight. So it's to me, moving house is the easy part. With the people taking all my things and possessions in the storage and bringing it back, and they're all in boxes, it's more stressful because you don't know what's in what box.
What's been the worst thing for you out of all of this, would you say? How was living in the hotel?
If it hadn't been for the guests and the staff, I did break down twice, I don't think I would have survived it. It's through those staff and the guests that helped me through and got me through it. If it hadn't been for them, I really don't know.
And obviously today, we watched the footage of her going into your house, which you'd never seen for the first time. What was it like watching it back from that other angle?
Well, what I can't understand is, when she went into the first car, why did she not stop? Why carry on and go into my property? That I can't understand, and I don't think I ever will.
And obviously the defence said that she was adjusting the carpet in the footwell. That was the excuse.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't believe that, because when you get into a car and there's something not right at the footwell, you deal with that before you even move off. So no, I don't believe that.
Have you had any sort of apology, and do you feel like she is sorry?
No, I don't think she's sorry. No, she doesn't show any remorse or regret at all.
Kent Online News.
Taking a look at other top stories today, people in part of Ashford have had to keep their windows closed overnight because of smoke plumes from a fire. It broke out at an industrial site off Bartlett's Lane in Singleton yesterday evening. 6 fire engines were sent and crews managed to stop the flames spreading to a field. They're still at the scene as we record today's podcast. We've shared pictures at Kent Online. A Canterbury woman has been ordered to pay compensation after being caught stealing food and makeup. Carla Sharp took a contour stick from a shop in Whitefriars Street in February and £32 worth of food from a co-op 2 months later. The 32-year-old from the Surrey area has also been placed on a 12-month conditional discharge. People living in part of Raynham are vowing to fight proposals for more than 800 new homes. It comes just 12 months after plans for 750 homes were rejected for the same land off Pump Lane following public backlash. The land is now part of council's local plan. A developer has signalled they could apply to build 825 properties. Residents say they are ready to fight again. Expansion plans for a luxury hotel and golf resort between Canterbury and Faversham have been scrapped. The Cave Hotel in Boughton wanted to transform their leisure facilities as part of a multi-million pound overhaul. The application drew objections from residents about the impact of green space and local infrastructure. Bosses say they withdraw their bid due to rising costs.
Kent Online News.
A nuclear test veteran from Kent says he's hopeful over the Prime Minister's support for an inquiry into the program. Terry Quinlan from Leybourne was a national serviceman on Christmas Island in the Pacific in 1957. He's among a group of ex-servicemen who say they've been used as human guinea pigs while Britain was testing its first nuclear weapons. Andy Burnham had previously spoken strongly in support of their case while he was Mayor of Manchester. Terry has been speaking to reporter Alan Smith.
I think we're now at a stage where we possibly could get full recognition and compensation and a tribunal, which is a short tribunal done over a year. Due to our ages, veterans, most of them in the late 80s, like myself, 87 in 4 or 5 days' time, is it? And I'm very hopeful indeed, since Andy Burnham is sort of standing his ground for. He was for the nuclear veterans as a mayor of Manchester and carried it on as an MP and made a speech in Parliament just recently standing up for the nuclear veterans. And now as a member of Parliament, that should help us a great deal and very hopeful about it. If we get recognition and we get compensation for the veterans who's died, well, for the wives, actual fact, and children, widows and children as well, and the ones that had children born deformed through the radiation. You probably know all the stories of everything now on Christmas Island and Marilinger and so on, where the H-bomb tests were carried out and minor trials and so on. And we need this recognition. We need it to push it through now as quickly as possible. Because of our age groups, they die in 3 or 4 a week, I believe. So please help us, consider it. And back us.
More than 22,000 Army, Naval and Air Force personnel were involved in Britain's nuclear test program in Australia and the South Pacific between 1952 and 1967, though only a few thousand survived today.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, it's emerged an historic bridge in Sandwich could remain closed for months following a tanker crash. A Southern Water tanker hit the toll bridge in Ramsgate Road in the early hours of August 8th. Surveyors are still working to assess the damage. A closure order has been issued until August 21st, however, it's unclear how long the repairs will take. The family of a Spider-Man obsessed teen from Kent say he's been left heartbroken after being ignored at the premiere in London. 14-year-old Ewan, who has a number of rare genetic conditions, was among a group of disabled fans to be invited to Leicester Square on July 30th. His aunt said he was cast aside while others interacted with the stars. It's understood he's since been offered 10 free cinema tickets and Spider-Man merchandise as a gesture of goodwill. Footage has been released of trespassers breaking into a closed closed animal park in Kent. Sandwich Wildlife Park closed in 2021 during the pandemic. While there are no animals currently on site, bosses say it's not abandoned. It was featured in a TikTok Explorer video, which has been viewed more than 50,000 times, prompting an increase in break-ins. Now, an attempt by a group of six women from Kent to swim the English Channel has had to be abandoned. The group were taking on the challenge 100 years after the first woman successfully swam from Dover to France. Heidi Martin-Barchel is from Sheppey. She was part of the group. She's been telling us what happened.
We had to make the decision to abort the crossing. There were five attempts yesterday to get across, and all five were abandoned at some point. The conditions were okay, but the wind was coming from the right side of the boat. All four of us first swimmers swam to the left side of the boat, and because the wind was pushing across, it was pushing the fumes. The decision to abort did not come lightly, but obviously knowing that all five crossings were pulled, it does help to sort of show that we didn't give up without a fight and it was the right decision. I'm so, so proud of the team. We showed grit, commitment, courage and determination. Emily took two jellyfish stings straight to the face, bless her. One of them stinging her nose and her lips and her chin quite badly. I nearly ate one while coming up to breathe, but managed to avoid it at the last second and it stung my leg. Another one caught my face a bit later, but just very minor. It was genuinely the most gut-wrenching decision to make. We cried most of the way home. And then when we reached home to all the people that were greeting us, although it was the saddest decision, it was the right decision on the way, on the day. The boat crew, us and the observers' health physically and mentally must come first. We'd all done two swims. Laura was currently finishing her second. And we were just about to embark on the third round with Teresa going in. But we had to have an all-important conversation, and taking on board the crew's 18 years of experience and advice, we decided that to head home was the best option. We had currently in our 12th hour of swimming, and we were advised that it could be up to another 8, possibly 10 hours of swimming due to the winds picking up, causing really quite large swells, which we had to cut through with a +4 knot current coming to our side and face on. Even the strongest swimmers are never going to swim through a 4 knot current. That would probably bring us to maybe 2 miles within the French coast, and then we'd still have to get to the beach. We decided that the best call was to go home. We would like to give thanks to Swim Tyker for their support and training. Obviously the crew on Anastasia for keeping us safe, and Camilla, our observer, for her help and support on the day.
Heidi says despite having to abandon the swim, they were still able to raise over £12,000 for Swim Tyker, which teaches children life-saving skills. A rare solar eclipse will be visible in Kent today. Events are being held in areas including Dover, Folkestone and Bluebell Hill, where people are gathering to watch. Lucy's been chatting to Professor David Rees from Mid-Kent Astronomical Society.
Periodically, and it is entirely predictable, the moon passes directly in front of the sun. And that is what is happening this evening, starting about 7 p.m. and going on until sunset, in fact. And during this period of time, the moon will progressively move across the sun's surface. Of course, the moon is essentially only lit by the Earth at that time, so it's very faint compared with the sun. So we only see the lunar shape, including its mountains, moving slowly across the sun over a period of the order of a couple of hours, both from the entry across the maximum phase and then leaving the sun's surface. And then, of course, we're back into the normal situation where the moon will go through its phases, become eventually the quarter moon and full moon, and that will be essentially the end of the eclipse.
How rare is this? I mean, when was the last significant eclipse that we could see in Britain, and when will the next one be?
The last really good eclipse in the UK, where it was actually in principle seen as a full eclipse, was in 1999. So it's a long time between these, you know, typically 20 or 30 years. Sometimes they occur much more frequently. It just depends. The orbit of the moon around the Earth doesn't line up exactly with the, where the sun is in the sky. And of course, the Earth has an elliptical orbit around the sun as well, which makes it quite complicated. But there's what's called a Phanos cycle of about 18.6 years, where in fact the eclipses do more or less reoccur.
Will it be harder to see the eclipse because it's happening in the evening rather than the middle of the day?
Yes, it will be. The atmosphere is nothing like as clear, low down near the horizon. And unfortunately, all the phases of the eclipse will be quite low in the sky, in the, well, slightly north of west. I think one of the things we have to get over is don't look at the eclipse with the naked eye. There are special sun spectacles available, and you're strongly advised to use those. Or we do have what are called special solar scopes, which again have filters, making it quite safe to actually observe the sun. But the sun is extremely bright, and even in eclipse, if you look at it directly, you can, in fact, damage your eyes very, very easily, and that can be quite permanent damage. So please do not look at the sun directly. One of the good ways of doing it, actually, is to use something like a colander to project the images of the sun onto the ground, onto a sheet of white paper. That can be quite effective. Again, you see most of the details of the eclipse, but without risking damaging your eyes.
Yeah, I know there are lots of different ways of doing it. You know, the pinhole viewers and
yes.
You know, you can make those out of cereal boxes and stuff. So,
yes.
I mean, I guess if people have left it too late to get the proper glasses, you can still kind of do something to be able to see it and not risk damaging your eyes.
Yes, there are simple ways, again, a pinhole or millimeter size hole perhaps in a sheet of card, and then project that onto another sheet of white card. That's quite a good way, and quite a simple way, and obviously quite cheap and easy to put together. The solar scopes are the best way, because then you get a magnified image. Again, because of the special filters, it's not too bright to view quite comfortably with the naked eye. But only ever, as I said, use either special glasses, which are available, but may not be possible to get them ready for tonight. But do not look at the sun directly. It can easily damage the eyes.
Yeah, I suppose even with sunglasses on, it's not good enough protection, is it?
Sunglasses are useless. They just do not protect. You know, they typically reduce the brightness by a factor of, well, to anything from 25% to a factor of 10 at the most. But that still makes the sun far too bright to look at without anything other than sunglasses. So don't use sunglasses. Use either special glasses or project the sun's image through a pinhole onto a sheet of card.
And where is the best place to go to see the eclipse? Do you need to be sort of facing west? I mean, I guess if you can't see the sunset, you're not going to see it.
You need to see the sunset, and you need to be fairly high elevation with a really good view to the west. High trees and things like that, even high hedges, are a real pain trying to do it from your own garden. From here, for example, I have very, very good view over most of the sky. But in fact, the view to the west, or slightly north of west, where the sun will be this evening, well, that is just not good enough. So I would be, in fact, leaving here and driving a few miles where I know I have a good view to the west and to the northwest. So, yes, you usually have to go somewhere where there's no high trees and you're relatively high elevation compared to the surrounding land. So you have a really good view down to the west horizon.
Yesterday, several shops in Kent said they'd completely sold out of eclipse glasses. And a 200-year-old sword has been found in a lake near Edenbridge after water levels dropped. The blade was found at Chiddingstone Castle last Thursday. It's thought to be a 19th-century regimental sword. Further investigations are now being carried out to trace its origins.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket Now and Kent have failed to qualify for the knockout stages of the One Day Cup. They had a slim hope going into yesterday's match at
Warwickshire, but lost by 87 runs. It was their final group game, meaning they're out of the tournament. However, they will be back in county championship action next week. And Kent's James West says he's disappointed after missing out on a medal in the men's 5,000 metres at the World Athletics Championships. The 30-year-old from Thanet is recovering from Achilles surgery and wasn't expected to be selected to compete in Birmingham. He finished 12th in the final. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.